traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Well, I saw Jesus, but I also saw George.
Today?
Wait, should I talk about that? Yeah, I saw George on an airplane.
Really?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah, I was getting loaded up to come here the other day. The idea of all of us as ex co-hosts is sick.
I think.
All
I
of think us, it's dude. Freudian slip.
Yeah. Hey man, it's been a good run, Logan. But the $2,300 I made in the past 6 months is not
going. Stop saying that, bro. Everyone's gonna know we don't make any money from this show. You guys, that's the good news of you leaving. You're missing out on no financial gains.
Zero. You make.
We were talking yesterday, Spencer and I got a lot of O's. We got those residual checks that just said $0 every week.
Yeah, we definitely send checks that say you've made no money.
I'm still getting them. I get them all the time.
Look, we don't do this show for the money. We do it because we love you guys. We like, that's it. We love you guys. Are you
kidding? Did you really just do that?
I was about to start the show.
He was about to start the show.
Can I go?
I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't know. This is why we don't get paid. We're talking over each other.
A lot of co-hosts.
Amateurs.
Welcome back to Impulsive, guys. The number one podcast in the world.
Well,
thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. We're all a little loose right now, and I'll tell you why. We're in Miami. We got the gang back. The boys are back. Matt Klimbielski and Spencer Taylor are in the house.
Clap.
Ex-co-hosts
that we bullied off.
here to tell our story.
Expose
that. Please expose us on the show. Please. No, it's
good.
Yeah. It's good to have you guys back.
It's good to be back.
And I had a taxing day yesterday. Let me tell you something.
What'd you do?
Kevin Owens is better than I thought. He's good. He's very good. I made fun of him frequently. I called him all sorts of things. I called him Humpty Dumpty of WWE.
called him
a 4-year-old schoolboy because he dressed like a teenager.
You did too.
Yeah. All sorts of things.
What's
but,
up, fellow kids?
Yeah. I underestimated him, and I'm in a little bit of pain. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I did retain my title against all odds for the first time. That's the word rumbling. You know, that's all it takes. One title defense at a time. Who knows? At this rate, I could be the next Roman Reigns. And I'm in pain, but I bled.
Roman Reigns.
You smell good.
Spencer's been smelling me.
Yeah, you smell good. Smelling victory.
You're gonna smell like victory after tonight, Detroit Lions.
Let's fucking go.
You scheduled this episode during the shit.
I know. Spencer's from Detroit. That's why it's a big. This is a big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal.
Hey, if the Cleveland Browns were going to the Super Bowl, I would not be on this
you
fucking
would
shit
not
podcast.
Have clothes on.
You went into outer space on the frog squash. Right. I do want to just say that one thing.
Yeah.
You got higher than me in fucking 2004.
Yo.
You were in outer space. That shit was crazy. That was a good pop, dude.
I was sending it. Yeah, the the position of the match was difficult. We were after the women's Royal Rumble and the Fatal 4-Way with Roman Reigns, where he also retained his championship. And Paul Heyman, after the match, comes out. And everyone's like chest out. They knew they just blew the fucking roof off with Roman. Paul Heyman goes,
come here, sus.
Motions me over, and I'm like, what's up, Wolf? He goes, you want some motivation? I go, absolutely. He goes, follow that motherfucker. He goes, you can do it. And Kevin, he's ruthless, man. I'll be honest with you. My chest is all, it's still, he has fingerprints on my chest. My shoulder.
You have a bloody nose, too.
Oh, my God.
I go.
He made you bleed.
Oh, you got a band-aid?
I'll be honest, I underestimated him. But I was playing chess and he was playing checkers.
Do you think the show's got too wrestly? I got people telling me the show's become too wrestling.
What do you mean too wrestling?
Is the Impulsive now wrestling?
Oh, right. This show?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, we had John Cena.
John Cena. John Cena's not a wrestler. He's an octagon.
Hey, what do you mean by
that? He's an eight-sided shape of entertainment.
He's an octagon.
He's a wrestler. He's an actor. He's an impact maker. He's has so many aspects. If you look at John Cena and you think he's a wrestler, you're...
He's perfect, dude.
Yeah,
I was trying to find the chink in the armor. I couldn't. You know when you meet someone like that, you're like, you know, what are they going to be like in person? And then they just exceed your expectations to do that.
He's so wise.
I mean, I left before all these superstars came on, but it's pretty awesome to see.
Well, you were around for Ben Shapiro.
That's true. And that's true.
For the politicos out there, just put on one of the best debates I've seen a couple days ago on the Lex Fridman Show, which is one of the best podcasts in the world, by the way.
Yes.
Ben Shapiro and Destiny had a massive debate where they were very respectful to each other, discussed a myriad of topics regarding American and global politics, and it was an incredible poker.
Over 3 hours of just incredible political debate, Logan, if you care to watch it, to... Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm sure it's on his list. Yeah, definitely be watching that.
I love how the world is absolutely crazy. And yep. I love like getting on social media and seeing Logan just body slam someone. I'm serious. Like, it's good. You have to hold down the entertainment and keeping people's spirits light. I'm actually serious.
This is a good topic to
it's
talk a, to
it's
you
some
about.
Heavy shit going on in the world.
Spencer, it's really hard for me to invest myself in the heavy shit.
Yeah.
Because
I think for a lot of people they resonate with that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, it's hard, dude. It's shit is fucking heavy. The world is in shambles in some parts.
We talked about this yesterday about how you spend your energy in service to different people. And Spence has obviously been in a war zone delivering care packages to people in need.
Yeah.
And I personally can't do that. You don't invest your time in political things or getting involved in that world, but you are leading the charge, keeping people smiling all the time.
It's what I'm good at and it's what I like to do, which is kind of selfish to say, but like, you know, I'd like to think in some weird way, I do serve a purpose in making people feel better about just life in general. But it also serves me, which is kind of where like it could be interpreted like a little selfishly if you're being like super woke. But like Spencer, this is a good question. Like after Impulsive, man, what have you been doing? I know what you've been doing, but tell people what you've been doing.
I mean, a pretty substantial 180
yeah.
in a way.
Yeah.
But I mean, you guys got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, you gave me the space to go down to the Amazon. I don't know if you remember that. During the forest fires in 2019. And that was kind of where I dipped my toes into the humanitarian work. Just, you know, that was a quick mission. We gave firefighters gear. We went down there and, like, you know, really activated. But then flash forward to the war in Ukraine breaking out. That was, I don't know, man, my heart just felt for those people suffering in the war. And it really messed with me. Like, I was struggling for multiple months. And the guy that I met down in the Amazon, Michael Capone, he runs an organization called Global Empowerment Mission. I saw that he went out to Ukraine and they were doing a lot of stuff. So I just went out there. I just decided to go out to Warsaw and then went into Ukraine.
Was it an active war zone when you were there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I would wake up in Kyiv and there'd be like missiles exploding in the air.
Oh, my God.
And like the first night I stayed there, there was like kamikaze drones hitting like two blocks away. Like, crazy shit.
How do you
now? It's much more stable there. It's like a different situation in Kyiv. I mean, there's still missiles, though, that fly in. It's nuts, man.
How do you deal with the, like, misinformation that is kind of rampant on social around that conflict? Because it's obviously been a heavily politicized topic, both here mm-hmm. and abroad. It's become, you know, a left versus right political issue here in the States with certain people and certain sides supporting Ukraine, certain sides supporting Russia, other people saying that we shouldn't be involved whatsoever and that our money should remain home. You know, yeah. what do you say to people that are saying that kind of stuff or having those type of opinions?
I mean, it's a deep question. I'm not going to claim I know the answer to that because, you know, America has its fair share of doing stupid stuff. But at the same time, I think if we are the nation that represents freedom and, you know, then I think we have to help people preserve their own freedom. because the Ukrainian people are under assault. They're getting attacked. They're getting their land stolen, you know, and they have a right to defend themselves. So I fully support Ukraine. I think we should. I think it's a whole nother conversation if we want to get into like the specifics as to why, but it is actually much more important. And I think over the coming years, we're going to see that conflict hopefully de-escalate, which we don't have voices calling for de-escalation. There needs to be that, which is crazy. But yeah, I don't know. We're going to see over the next couple of years where that goes.
It's just wild to see how all of those conflicts play out. Obviously, now there's even a newer conflict with, and you know, another massive conflict with Gaza. Yeah. And
which I'll be there in a couple of weeks.
Oh, are you going to actually transition over to impact there?
Yeah,
well?
I was in Cairo. We're doing, we're delivering supplies into Gaza, so into southern Gaza.
You're just helping.
You're helping. Exactly.
You're not really in it to try to
absolutely
sway or. No. But do you follow everything that's going on with like the International Court of Justice and like everything that's going on with who's on whose side, so on and so forth?
Yeah, we don't take sides. If there's people suffering, we're going to help.
So, and that's, so you're obviously
we're for humanity.
So you'll be providing supplies to Gaza.
We already are. Yeah, we already are.
Why are you such a good person?
Bro, I'm just trying to be a better version of myself every day, man. That's all I'm trying to do.
Visualize yourself better every day.
That's it.
That's a vibe.
That's it, man.
That's a vibe.
Just trying to inspire other people to, you know, answer the call to the suffering in the world.
But surely you feel good or some sort of calling to help your species. Like where does that come from?
Yeah. Oof. It's a good question there. I think the purpose of life, the meaning of life is to be of service, is to help other people. You know, like Jesus talks about, you know, the kingdom of heaven is in the poor in spirit. It's not in the rich and the, you know, I mean, we're in a pretty rich crib right now.
Yeah,
it might not be, man. Here.
Can we green screen some like favelas behind us or something like that? Like, this is a shit place to be having this combo. Yeah. Logan would prefer to have it on the moon if he could, but this will do for now. Yeah.
Well, hopefully, I mean, I know when we were in Puerto Rico for the hurricane, you know, when you came out to support us as well, which, you know, big shout out to you. I think, you know, there's a lot of things to do in the world. It can be overwhelming. We want to like turn our face away from it. It's like, we almost like a lot of people say like, oh, that's negative. I don't want to talk about it. But it's actually, it's a certain, like we were talking about this, Mac. It's like a certain form of medicine to look at the suffering in the world and face it and actually embrace it and not turn away. And it's overwhelming no matter what, no matter how you look at it. And instead of complaining about it, which a lot of people do, or, you know, protesting, it's like, let's activate, let's go there, let's serve, let's help people.
You know, I always loved the global impact stuff, and I sit pretty center aisle on a lot of topics. It depends on what you ask me about. But I've been straying away a little bit over the past few months to year because I am noticing how badly our own country is falling apart. And it is making me a little bit less apt. I'll just go ahead and be fucking blunt right now, to want to help people when our people are dying, when our border is completely fucking devastated, when we have no control there, when I live in a city in a state that is over fucking run, when we have laws that make no fucking sense in a lot of the states of this country, where people can break laws, people can break into people's houses, people can commit violence against one another with absolutely no reprimand, absolutely no penalty. It's back out on the streets that night. We don't ask for IDs for people that are crossing the border. We allow people who cross the border illegally to fly. If they don't have an ID, they can fill out a form. I need an ID to fly. Some of the people that are coming to this country have more rights than I do
right now.
So not to go like too far, our fucking psychopath right now.
Are you moving to Florida? Is that what you're
about
to
announce? Well, listen, there's a very heavy chance that I'm going to be considering a move from California soon because you guys know, you know where I stand. I'm fair. I love people. I love helping. I love impact. But we're losing 150,000 people a year to fentanyl overdoses and opiate overdoses and drug addiction in this country. We're not helping our veterans. We're not helping, you know, people with other mental illness problems. We are a hurt country right now. And I love the idea that we're continuing to help and play global watchdog and global police and help other countries. But I think I have been personally a little bit slow, where a lot of people have been a little bit quicker to me than me, in realizing that we need a lot of fucking help in this country right now. And I'm not gonna point a finger at one person and say they caused it or this person is gonna fix it. But we really, really need to start thinking about how we fix some of the issues that are going on in this country.
I think it's a very It's a very anti-American.
It seems like.
Do we need to get GP in here?
No, but it does seem like it.
Is Greg Paul? And if there's one person who could speak on this subject.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With absolute authority and position, it's my father.
The chair needs to slide in. Who's going to slide the chair in?
Someone bring Greg Paul in there.
One thing I'll add on that end, Mike, because I think you're opening up a good thing. It's a valid concern, and I think so many people feel that. Like, hey, why should we support them if we've got our own issues? And I totally agree with that. I think it's a yes and.
For sure.
But yeah.
And Mike, before Greg has his, what would this...
Oh, it's going to go. Yeah.
You are helping. You help your people. You might not be able to help with a global situation, but the people that you do help are the ones that struggle with the addictions and overcoming their deepest, darkest demons, because you created a beacon of light with your book and everything. So you are helping and you do change the world, but it's in your own way, in the way that you felt called to serve. So you're not.
I think if every person can do that. What'd you just say?
GP coming in.
It's all right. It's true. Spence and I have been talking about this like for the past couple of days, just the way that people help, because it's very difficult for everyone to want to get involved into a global crisis. But if everyone helped in a certain way that they felt comfortable with doing
or passionate
about, and not feel the obligation to help beyond what they can, it would be better.
Now I'm gonna play a little devil's avocados here, but even the ability to help, I feel like, is a bit of a blessing, because some people are just so focused on their family and trying to pay their next bill.
For sure.
Survival mode.
Like, I mean, a lot of the country is in survival mode, bro, like paycheck to paycheck.
More than ever.
And so like even being able to have the time to think about helping other people is a blessing, because you don't have to worry about protecting yourself and your loved ones, which is insane. Greg, do you have anything to say about the current state of the United States?
No, come on, direct them.
Trump 2024.
Oh, shit, here we go.
We're in it.
Yeah. Should Vivek be his vice president?
Yeah. I told Vivek when he was at Jake's thing, I'm like, you should just step down and be vice president. You're not gonna make it as president. He's like, well, I can't.
And he listened.
Apparently he listened. Yeah, I mean, he stepped down. And DeSantis, I told him the same thing. He stepped down. So
what about RFK? There's been a lot of talk.
GP, are you
RFK
secretly running the country right now? Are you calling the shots?
I'm not saying nothing about that, but I do want to go along with the Askus thing you're doing with Mike. Mike,
that's called supporting your friend.
Right. Yeah, what the fuck? He's joking. He's funny. Yeah.
I just want to tell you, Mike, you seem like you've gotten a little softer, a little kinder, a little. I think your girlfriend has a lot to do with it.
Oh,
yeah. So
look at that smile.
I want to give kudos to her.
Yeah, round of applause, dude. And, my beautiful Latina girl.
And it looks good on you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But I don't even feel all that extra kind trying to turn this energy back here. But like, let's direct some of this energy for a second. Right now, the biggest ongoing issue is we have a major issue at the border. Right now, let's get political for 10 minutes and then we'll shift on to something else. I met Jesus today underwater, which was wild. But we have a strange conflict right now between our own federal government and the state of Texas. The state of Texas is saying, yo, we're going to secure this border. We're going to defy federal guidelines and federal enforcement that is telling us that we have to cut razor wire, that we have to allow the Border Patrol to run this border. We're going to run this border ourselves. And we have this very interesting standoff right now between, you know, the state of Texas, Texas Rangers, and Department of Homeland Security and Border Patrol.
And it's going to be very interesting over the next couple of weeks to see what happens there. Who is actually going to end up, you know, securing the border, right? And how that's all going to look, because, you know, when you start to have a state defy the federal government like that, it gets pretty fucking messy sometimes. It's a very wild situation down at the border.
I want to say something.
Well, yeah.
As the host of this show.
Absolutely, sir.
Everything you're saying is very important.
A little heavy for you.
It's not just that. Just like, why would anyone come to this show to listen to us talk about politics?
All right, how about this? That's, I just wanted to bring the issues up.
No, you're right. No, you're right. And Spencer, this is my problem.
Well, Spencer's here. Maybe that's why.
No. He has an opinion. I have an opinion. This motherfucker has an opinion, that's right? True. Candace Owens has an opinion. Ben Shapiro has an opinion.
Yes.
Everyone's just like saying stuff. Everyone's just saying so much stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just so much to download and process. And who, pun intended, is the Trump card? Who knows the most and has the best moral compass to guide where this country should go? And why? And how are we going to listen to them? And why should we listen to them? And I'm almost overwhelmed by all the chatter. And then become sort of disinterested because I don't know what to do with my hands. That's what it feels like. Everyone, who's right?
Who's speaking the most facts?
It feels like we're just so divided, and everyone has a thought about something, and we can talk about this, but like, where does the change come in? And that's why I feel like if I'm going to get involved in something, I really want to feel like it's going to make an impact, a real impact. And I've looked at all the philanthropic verticals that there are, and I'm trying to decide like where I want to contribute, because I don't just want to do it in like a way where I'm going to participate. I want to really like make a change if I'm going to devote part of myself and my brand and my time and energy into doing good for the world. And Spencer, again, you're a good person to talk about with this, is because the one I always land on is education.
Yeah,
I feel like if kids were raised with a little more emotional EQ, raised to play to their strengths, learn their weaknesses, be vulnerable about their weaknesses and turn those into strengths, and just be kind of like wiser, more well-rounded human beings, eventually, not immediately, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, the world would be in such a better place because everyone is better at being themselves and knowing how to contribute in the best way they can to a world that should feel like a unit. Like why can't humans be like an ant colony where we're all working together for the same goal, and that is to preserve our species?
Because it's bad for business. Yeah, that's why.
But that sucks, well, man. That really sucks.
Unfortunately, that's just the fact of the matter. It's just we, and quickly, and then please, Spencer, take over. I apologize for even opening this can of worms. You're 100% right. And I want to say that I almost feel I have a personal reason to be on this rampage today. As a lot of people on the show know, I'm not going to get into it today, but I've had some happenings over the past 24 hours that are driving me a little bit. I have always been one to try to steer clear of this. I've always been one that realized that, generally speaking, these conversations really don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
It's a lot of walking. It's a lot of running in circles. It ends up in a lot of screaming and yelling, which is why I brought up the Destiny and Ben Shapiro conversation, because it was very much not that. Yeah. And I liked that conversation. I just simply wanted to present something. But you're 100% right. The last point I'll put in on it is, when you're talking about progress for this country, when you're talking about fixing this country, when you're talking about what you're asking of the candidate that you're going to vote for next, what you should be trying to figure out is who is the best to unite the aisles. We have two parties right now who are very much willing to spend their entirety of time blocking each other's shots. Two basketball teams, neither want to score. They just want to make sure the other team doesn't. That is not an effective approach for a country. That is not an efficient way to run a superpower, and it's never going to work for us. The best person for our office right now is somebody that is able to make both sides listen, present facts, and make people come to the table and agree on something to pass a bill that benefits this country. Work together. United we stand, divided we fall. I'll say that until the end of my fucking life, dude.
Beautiful. To bring it back to education and get away from the politics thing, one thing that I know for a fact I have seen from you personally that I've been thinking about for a very long time, that will rely on Greg to answer this question. To inspire the youth, one of the things I always saw in you was that you gave your absolute all to your education. You poured yourself into your studies at every single moment. Every class you got an A, correct?
Yeah.
It is not cool to do good in school right now, to do well in school. Where did that come from? And was that something that you always wanted him to do?
No, you know, we wanted him to study, do their homework, do their thing. But Logan was beyond. I mean, his senior year, he already had a scholarship to OU. His GPA was 4.75 or some crap like that. It's the middle of May.
Yeah, but Dad, I don't know if you remember this. Let me jog your memory. Up until the fifth grade, 10 years old, I was not a good student. Is that ringing any bells? I would cheat in school.
You were a punk.
I was a punk.
My dad didn't like you.
No, I was a punk. I was a young fucking like troublemaker who played pranks in school. I'd get bad grades. I'd cheat off people. Like I was not a good student. Shout out to Mrs. Schoenfeld. Mrs. Lindgren and Ms. Schoenfeld. I don't know if you remember. We're in class one day. I get in trouble. I get a detention. I told some teacher like tough luck, as she said something. I was like, oh, tough luck. Got a detention. I didn't really know what it meant, but I was like, I don't know. I got a detention.
You probably learned that from him.
I got it. Yeah. And I'm in the detention room, and she's like, yo, you're a smart kid. I know you're a smart kid. Like you're witty. You come up with things on the spot. Like you're just not trying. Can you do me a favor? Just one, please. This is the only thing I'll ask you this school year. I'm going to give you note cards with the answers on the back of them to the subject that we're talking about. It was history. Just try to memorize them. You're here in this detention for an hour. Just please try to memorize them. We'll see how you do on the test. I was like, whatever. Looked at the note cards front and back, asked a question, learned the answer. Test comes that week. Motherfucker, I got a 97. I looked at this paper. I went, oh my God, I'm not a dumbass. Yo, I might have a little something. And she was able to recognize that I had a ability to use my brain. And she showed me that I was smart, bro. I realized I was smart. I didn't know this. And although he comes off as, you know, Greg, he's smart. His dad is a fucking genius. My mom's father is a genius. My mom's smart. Like intelligence ran in our family. And when I learned that I was a smart kid who was also a troublemaker, I knew I could impress people if I just applied myself. But I appreciated school because it taught me how to learn. It taught my brain how to function and problem solve. And for that reason, I knew there was value in that. But I didn't necessarily have any subjects that played to my real strengths. And I think the ultimate form of like the perfect education system involves like looking at a group of students like they're animals. Don't take this the wrong way, but like one person's a fish, one person's a gorilla, one person's a bird, and the bird can fly well, but the bird can't swim well. The fish can swim well, but it can't climb a tree well. And so like, what are you fucking good at? What are you the best at? What is your child innately in tune with, and how can you amplify that? Yeah. The issue is you need the working class. And we'll always come back to that, is like you need someone who's going to work that 9 to 5 and put in those man hours and do that manual labor for some of the jobs and work in the factories. And I think that's how the education system, you know this, I'm saying stuff, yeah, you already know, but like
you're saying that people are put down so that they don't excel and become their best version.
The country was built to create worker bees.
Absolutely. That's a fact. Yeah. Well, I think you're absolutely onto something big, because one of my favorite quotes is from Aristotle, and it's the fate of empires rests in the education of youth. So you're
Aristotle said that?
Yeah. So you're right. Absolutely. I think you're Aristotle.
I said I was the yes man. Are you just fucking torn?
It came out, dude. I'm sorry.
Philosopher
I'm sorry.
But also counter your point, or I guess this is a question.
Don't you think the world needs ditch diggers too? Like, it's not
it's not about that. Some people might like digging ditches.
That's another thing too. Some people really do enjoy it. And then also, like, I'm just gonna come out and say it. Like, you can, I do like the idea of like catering a program around individual strengths and weaknesses, right? That should be the goal of the education system. But let's also not go in there and tell every person that they're gonna be a multi-million dollar entrepreneur, creative genius, you know, the biggest rapper, because then that's going to start.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org, paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Well, that's part of the problem with the American dream, is because, you know, you look on social media and people that are looked up to and that people aspire to be have all these things and successes turned into this weird form of like financial success, but that's not what success is, dude.
So here's,
if you can go home every night, look yourself in the mirror and be like, yo, I'm happy. My life is good. I like what I do. I get to spend time with people that I love. I have a dog. I have a family. Like, life is fucking good. That's happiness should be the goal rather than any form of success dictated by finance.
Success and happiness are personally defined.
Facts.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So you can achieve success in any career path. To get to that point requires someone like your teacher who said the one thing that inspired you, that one spark. So how do you get educators to get to that point? And it might not be the teacher in the school, it might be a parent, it might be a friend, a family member, whatever, but to get to that point of success is a...
Yeah, you have to, the whole system itself has to go through a rewiring, but the change is happening in pockets outside of the system, as I think is kind of like every problem right now in our country, right? Like, focusing on the government and all that shit, like, let's actually just go and build. Like, to your point, Logan, let's just go out and build the change. Let's be the change we want to see in the world. And there are a lot of people doing that right now.
But there's also a lot of really powerful people blocking it from happening.
Of course.
Because it doesn't put money into their pockets.
Yeah, you can't be naive of the beast that we are all fighting. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What do you mean, what beast?
The
interest, yeah, the financial the interest against.
No, don't do Matrix or Deep State. Like, let's just be honest. Like,
the financial interest against, you know, the thing that we want to create. We want to create freedom. There's people that have monopolized the system.
Unfortunately, it feels good for the government if you keep people dumb.
Yeah. Look what
for
we
sure,
just went through.
Sure.
I have a question for Greg. How did you inspire your children to be aware and conscious of their lifestyle?
So one thing is they weren't allowed to say can't growing up. If they said can't, I'd make them do push-ups. I'd be like, don't tell me you can't. Let's figure out a way you can. Go around it, get through it, break through it, whatever it is. But we also, I was constantly doing stuff with them. Like, I'd take them down to the metro parks and we'd walk along. We'd play don't touch the ground and we'd walk along on the logs and go from log to log to log. And they would have to problem solve because they'd walk to an end of a log and be like, oh shit, there's not another log. What do we have to do? And I'd make Logan lead and I'd make Jake lead. So they were naturally learning how to problem solve and be a leader in a fun way.
Yo, actually what you're talking about, so my film is The Death of Recess. What you're talking about is the solution to the system. It's actually making play. You know, in the country, our school system, a national average, get this, of recess is 20 minutes per day.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
So they've just taken the play and the joy out of learning and made it all about testing, getting into college, because it makes money, which my film will get into. But you're right. It's about making learning fun, because the goal should be to create lifelong learners, which you are. You're learning WWE now. You're learning how to start a multi-$100 million business. You are a lifelong learner. That should be the product, and that's like the thing to celebrate.
So it helps when you're invested in a subject, though. Like, if you can learn about something you love, it doesn't feel like work.
Purpose, passion.
So here's one that was a big pet peeve of mine in school. Kids would have a bake sale, and they'd make cookies or brownies and sell them for 10 cents or some bullshit. And Logan's like, oh, Dad, we're going to sell cookies. We're going to make money for whatever. I'm like, okay, well, the cookies cost $3.50. The dough's, the chips are this much. So it's costing you 11 bucks. How many cookies can you make? If you can only make 10 cookies, we got to charge 55 cents a cookie to break even. Otherwise, you're not making any money. And if you're going to do that, then just give the $11 to the school. Fuck the bake sale.
He was running spreadsheets.
Yeah.
My motherfucker was incorporating cost of goods on our local school fundraiser.
You're going to make the school buy your cookies, boys.
And we're going to pack them. We're going to do it for school lunches. The school was promoting a position where they're losing money. Business-wise, it was the dumbest idea. And as a young kid, they could all understand that because the math was easy enough.
But you're talking about subject matter, and I think the thing that we're like collectively overlooking, except for Greg, who obviously innately gets it, is the biggest thing here is the role of the father, the role of the parents in the life and the investment of the parents in the life of the of children in this country and in the world, right? Like, we're talking about these specific subjects, going log to log, teaching them about the bake sale, telling them they can't say can't. But in reality, the biggest thing Greg's talking about is he was there for them. Yeah. Every step of the way, he was teaching them. He was investing in their fucking lives.
Yeah, good parenting.
Good parenting. And that's like, at the end of the day, like, we could talk about the school system. We could talk about the government. We could talk about the laws in this country. But at the end of the day, failures of children is failures of parents.
Yes and no. Most of the time. But imagine if the parents were raised and there was a course on parenting in general.
Yeah, that's
like,
yeah,
like those kids who are educated the right way will eventually be great parents.
Right.
And you're right, parenting is so important.
Paramount.
You know, it's parenting is paramount. but like it is crucial to the development of a child, because if the school isn't doing the job, it's on the parents to make sure that their human becomes a productive, useful positive member of society. Like, this is gonna be. So,
well, you gotta be willing to put in the hard fight and put in the hard time. I mean, there were, you know, it's like I'd tell you guys, I'd go, welcome to life, get the fuck over it. They'd be bitching about something that I'd have them doing. And my comment was, welcome to life, get the fuck
something.
Over
it. When you point that hammer at Greg, is Spencer's mic stick right in his face?
Yeah, probably.
I got a should we move him over a little bit? Yeah, Greg, move to your left a little bit.
Hey,
there we go.
How's that? Is that good?
I want to say something that could be a little controversial.
It's only controversial because you say that first.
All right. Yeah.
If you prefacing, then Jed would not think.
No, because I have an idea. I have an idea. Right? Okay. Because obviously, I'm running for president.
You can't say you don't like politics and then run for president.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not running for president. That job is way too hard. And fuck
it
that.
It sucks.
Yeah. Fuck it's so that. Bad.
Worst job in the world.
No matter what.
You don't even get paid properly.
Yeah. No, it sucks. But here's an idea. I'm going to get a little heavy for a sec. Just one sec.
260?
Heavier than we've been. There's nothing worse than the idea of sending your child to school and thinking that they could get caught up in a school shooting. It is the saddest thought that I can imagine. A environment that is supposed to be apt for learning and growing as a young human turns into a fucking war zone. It is the worst thing that our country faces regularly. It fucking sucks. And everyone has ideas on how to stop these things from happening. And like, it was weird because when COVID was happening, everyone was happy that the school shootings went down, which obviously because no one was in school, but like that was a statistic that was like shocking. It was like, no one's in school, so there's less school shootings, obviously. But as soon as school comes back, like, it's back. And our country, unlike any other country, faces like an absurd amount of these incidents. And so, you know, like, what are the solutions? What are actually like viable solutions that don't involve going against our Constitution and the Second Amendment, and that don't involve like having to arm teachers and teaching them how to be like members of a militia to face a gunman, or even having like a security guard on campus with a gun, which has failed before. Like, a good guy with a gun doesn't stop a bad guy with a gun, we've learned. Unfortunately, that's just not true. That's what the people who...
Statistically, it doesn't. There are cases.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Sometimes. Yeah. I'm not willing for sometimes. You know, like, what is a foolproof solution? What will increase our odds in the best way possible? And I bring this up because it takes me back to the parenting conversation, is like, you're raising this kid. You don't see the demons. You don't know he has these thoughts. You don't know your son or daughter is a little perverse in this way, or has access to a fucking automatic rifle. Why are there not consequences for parents of school shooters under the age of 18? Because oftentimes the perpetrator either dies or is prosecuted as a minor, but it was raised by either an ignorant or clueless parent, and it is your job to make sure that person is at least bare minimum like sane or law abiding.
Well, hold on.
Productive.
Well, I have an answer for you. So the biggest issue, the real biggest issue that we have in this country, once again, back to what I was saying earlier, is mental health. We have a massive, massive, massive mental illness problem and resource overwhelm, in this country. And so as a 46-year-old mom of a kid in Missouri who starts to show signs of schizophrenia or writes a manifesto on violence or something, so on and so forth, what do you do? What is the playbook for that mom? You go, say you're in a blue state, for example, say you're in New York or California, and you find out that your kid is showing these type of signs. You go and you report this to the authorities. The authorities say, well, unfortunately, we by law can't take this person, you know, by resources. Even if we could by law, we have nowhere to put them. There's nothing we could do about this. So even if you do satisfy your requirements as a parent to maintain the safety of your child,
why are we in a position where the mom has to send her kid off somewhere? How about this?
Exactly.
Son, I've been a little kind of worried about your behavior recently. Like, are you okay? Talk to me. Okay, what's on your mind?
That takes intentional effort from the parent who might be suffering from
many
stress,
parents can't.
Mental health issues.
Let me say something. Because I've been in school environments that are 100% safe. This cannot exist. It does not exist. And they're operating outside of the school system. But I'll tell you what I believe the solution is after being in like hundreds of schools. I think the solution to ending this violence, like Mike, what you said, both of you said, is mental health. Where in the current curriculum is there anything to do with social emotional learning? It's all cramming people down this line of stress, grades, comparison, judging. It's ass backwards. The whole thing, as kids, we don't have these issues. It's because of our society. So adult thinking, how we've been talking, is not going to fix the problem. We have to keep the sacredness of the mental health that we're born into. We have to allow that to flourish through the system. So we have to have social emotional learning as the core of our education system. We don't have it at all. It's not in the curriculum. Because they want to cram more tests down. They want to remove recess. Removing recess statistically is horrible, especially for boys. So the school shootings, it's a product of a failed system. So like taking away guns and doing it, it's a waste of time. It's not going to fix it. What's going to fix it is if we completely restructure our education system with social emotional learning at the center.
But,
sure,
but that
there's,
only goes
there's ways to identify these individuals. Like
100%. If you look at the majority of the shootings, they knew
you know who the fuck it
and
is.
If you,
so how do the parents
if
not
you
fucking
has,
know?
No, but
you
if the if parents did know, if you okay, play this out. Greg, you're the parent, Logan's the child. Greg comes up to you and says, "Hey, I've noticed you've been acting kind of strange lately. Is there something you want to talk to me about?" And you being the kid says to him, "The voices, Pa. The voices won't stop. They're telling
What the fuck is he gonna do?
Yeah, what would you do?
What
do you do?
Like,
I'd be like, get the demons out of your fucking head. No,
no,
that's not good.
No, he's
that's
joking. But he's joking. He's joking. But Logan, do you hear my? Do you understand my sentiment? Like, yeah. you guys, and even to your point,
yeah.
For 99.9% of students, obviously that's gonna work. I'm talking about red flag cases.
So yo, you would see
this
that.
Kid here is showing the propensity to extreme violence. What is the play? Because yeah. right now, even with those red flag cases, states are still failing.
If you had a system, like, you gotta imagine it, just like close your eyes and imagine a school system where every single day kids meditated, they played outside, they ate healthy, and they were just enjoying going to school and love learning.
To do the things they love.
And encouraged to do what they love. It would be so screamingly obvious to see the kids that are suffering. And then as a community, it takes a village to raise a child, right? So as a community, you would say, ah, he's struggling, she's struggling. That must mean their family's struggling. Let's all help them. That's not how America thinks right now. We're all in this race. We're all trying to get this big house, this big car, this big boat, this, you know. We're competing with each other. We're not focused on helping one another. And that's what we got to get back to. That's actually how this country was started.
Here's another part of
that. It was all homeschooled. It was the social anxiety and pressure didn't exist. So it's a creation of what we have now.
All right. So here's another thing. With what you're talking about, Mike, that kid, that kid's a lot of work. And the analogy is this. Let's take a dog. A dog that you've had for 3 years, been a great dog, and all of a sudden the dog starts biting. Biting the mailman, biting kids, doing whatever. You love the dog's biting. If you want to retrain that dog to stop biting, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of consistent effort. Mm-hmm. If you get the kid who's doing what you're talking about, Mike, you got to basically commit your life to babysitting that kid and being with him morning, noon, and night, keeping him busy, keeping him active, making him tired, talking to him, you know, getting him involved in things. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
And that's why parents are, you know, I mean, 50% of the families are divorced. So parents come home, they're like, oh, fuck, I'm tired. Johnny's being an asshole. Go, you know, play on your phone, do whatever. And they don't care. They don't have the commitment to put in the time for the long-term gain.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's a lot of work.
Parenting is fucking hard. So that's what I'm saying. If you aren't prepared to be a parent and work to make your child a useful member of society, dude, don't have a child because it's going to make you feel more fulfilled. That's not a reason to have to start a family.
Or going
to
fulfill your
I don't know. It's your, oh, yeah. Your, like your I have. Yeah, man. I have this yearning to make a baby and it's going to make me happy because a lot of people, I feel like, have children because it gives them purpose. My purpose is to raise this child. Then make that your purpose. If that's why you brought this person into the world, make them the best, most productive person they can be. And that should be your prerogative. Number one priority in life. Once you bring a human into this world, you take a backseat to that person until they become their own.
What happens when you have the job that you have to work and you have to slave away at 12 hours a day, and then you have responsibilities, your friends who are causing
problems.
If you
aren't equipped to have a child, don't, bingo, don't have the
child. I guess the max point, it's getting harder and harder, and this is like not even debatable, it's getting harder and harder to be equipped to be a parent
fucking
in this
facts.
Country.
Facts.
Yeah. Because, not everyone's facts. A millionaire
because,
at 29.
100%. Because when you look back at the statistics, average wage, working wage in this country versus average home price, I mean, it used to be like a house costs $112,000 and you made $35,000 a year. You could pay the house off in, you know, 5-6 years. Now there's people still making $35,000 a year and the average home price is up 500%.
Millennials and Gen Z are fucked right
now.
It's
insane. So it's becoming harder and harder to be a parent when maybe you are a single parent and maybe that sucks. Maybe you are a single parent and now you have to work two or even three jobs to try to just keep that kid alive, let alone facilitate their long-term success and make sure that they're not causing trouble in school, so on and so forth. And it's just, I guess to your point, anytime you have a kid, in a way you are rolling the dice a little bit that you may end up in a situation that is more than you had wished for. And I think all of these issues snowball to involve a million other issues.
I know.
And that's why the talk is kind of tricky, but like that point, supports the idea of waiting to have children until you can make sure that you're creating a happy home for that child.
Yeah.
People rush to have children with people that, because like you said, they want to have a child to fulfill themselves or to give themselves purpose. It's definitely more important to create that home unit where you have two working parents or maybe one working, one at home mom, which I know is a big talking point right now in the world of trying to bring women back to the home so that they can care properly for children while men work. Whatever, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff there, but
so not to branch out and make this even more complex conversation, because you're right, it's all A, B, C, D, E, the whole alphabet and more.
Yeah,
fucking we're in the wingdings at this point, bro. We are
comic sans
of all types,
but it ain't funny.
No, it's like if you shit, man. Completely lost my train of
thought. Logan, I got a question.
I feel like I had something good.
Go for it.
Nobody wants to put in the work.
No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it.
That's all there is to it.
Can we all take guesses?
I got a question, but I'll let you. Do you want me to ask you the questions? Maybe it'll come back.
I had some important. Wait. What were you saying? Please.
Family unit, having children, working class.
Women working at home.
Women working at home. Why cost more money now to buy a house? Making sure you have a happy unit. Responsibility of you roll the dice when you have a kid. It could be a fucking little fucking bugger.
Yeah.
You know, Neil wants to go to the pub.
I got nothing.
Damn it. I fucking knew we were going
to okay, yeah, I got a question.
Too much vodka. Sorry.
I saw Jesus.
Sorry.
Can I talk about Jesus?
Can I ask one question to parlay away from that?
Yeah.
What about stay-at-home moms? Was that it? Was that what I was going to talk about? Stay-at-home moms.
How about just moms?
Moms.
Spencer has a question for you.
Shout out Pam.
Hit me.
So, well, you've been watching, you know, you've been having some really big influential people on the show. You know, you've had Tony Robbins, John Cena, you've been having a lot of people on the show. You know, Shaq, like there's so many names.
Number one podcast. Ruby Rose.
So a lot of them, once they reach a certain level of wealth and power and status, you know, they get into philanthropy.
Mountain.
The second mountain. There we go. Yeah. So do you have any vision or calling, or do you feel like you're getting near that?
Education.
The only thing I would do is education.
That's got to make you happy.
If I'm not.
You could start a school.
I'm probably going to.
I would love to see you raise a lot of children through an education system, also involving Greg. I think this guy's got some wisdom, but I would love to see you get involved in that.
It will definitely not include Greg.
Whoa.
Why not? He's got to teach him how to chop.
Nah. I'm kidding. I feel like a lot of children will crack under your regime.
No, they're not going to crack. What about the Spartans? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but bro, are we trying to raise the country building with weapons?
Absolutely. We're trying to build tough people. But you can have the contrast. You can have Greg that teaches them to be the ultimate versions of their physical
expression. I'll tell you what. Being tough. Being resilient is a major life key.
All right.
If you can master this, man helped you become very physically resilient.
Sure. Here's an example. When we were in the Cub Scouts, we would go to this little Cub Scout outing and Logan, they're going on a hike, but all the Cub Scout leaders want to go on a hike on a bullshit trail. And Logan and Jake are like, let's go down here. I'm like, all right, let's go. And the Cub Scout leader's like, oh, we can't go down. I'm like, bullshit, we can go down here. Come on, we can get down. And we all climb down this hill. And then one dude's like, oh, you're going to have to get back up. I'm like, we'll get back up. And we had one fat kid on there that was just, yeah, that's right. If you're a fat kid, you're a fat kid. Get over it. That's part of life. So the fat kid,
the fat kid was struggling.
And I'm like, hey, you can do this, dude. You can do this. We're going to help you get up. And we're all behind him, putting our hands underneath his feet so he can climb up the hill.
Teamwork.
Pushing on him. And the kid's stressing. And he's like, Mr. Paul, I don't know if I can do it. I go, no, stop saying that. You can do it. I know you can. You're a big kid, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he made it up. He got up over the hump.
No, he was always right. It's ironically where my whole entire brand of being a maverick came from. Like, if everyone's going this way, I'm going to go that way. Yeah. I don't like to follow the path because that's what everyone knows and has been through. Yeah. How can you learn differently? How can you challenge your mind and yourself and be curious. Yeah,
inquisitive.
Be curious. Be explorative. Ask questions. But a lot of people just don't have it in them, you know? Some people are just...
And all the other Cub Scouts. You can inspire that. You personally, as Logan Paul, you can inspire that. Mike, you can inspire that. Spencer inspires that every day. Greg, I know you inspire that through your own format, but it happens.
Yeah, and all the other Cub Scout leaders are like, no, we're going to go here. And I'm like, no, that's bullshit.
we learn and get better through trial and error and hardship.
How does one have the motivation to want to better the human race instead of just make you and your family happy and proud while I'm alive?
You are still young. I think you're asking that question from a perspective of someone who has not yet accomplished everything they have set out to do. Personally, I think you'll eventually get to that point. But the ultimate goal would be to be the person that is able to uplift those, even if it's just someone who's one step behind you. If you are further on the path from them, further on the path than them, you can help them up one step that will inevitably help the next person behind them. No matter what it is, whether that's a single conversation, a person who's going through a hard time, that you can help them with a personal anecdote that will allow them to arrive there. Just being willing to be vulnerable and share yourself,
fair,
you will help that next person, fair, which will then in turn lift others.
Pay it forward.
I think it's
pay
also it your spiritual connection, you know? Like, if you got that spiritual connection.
Have you identified with a deity?
JC, man.
Let's go. I met him today, bro.
Always? Always?
I want to hear about this. How'd you meet him?
Bro, don't even tickle my face.
I got one. I will
come. Is this
yours
about fucking education?
No, it's about Amsterdam. You yes share where you met Jesus? I'll share where I met Jesus.
Dude, okay.
We're holding on the four for George over here.
Bro. Shout out, George.
yeah.
Shit, I want to. I saw him.
So what happened?
How did you meet Jesus underwater?
Well, I saw Jesus, but I also saw George.
Today?
Wait, should I talk about that? I saw George on an airplane.
Really?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah, I was getting loaded up to come here the other day, and I was just sitting in my seat, and I was, like, locked in. I had my headphones in, and I was on my phone. And, you know, I'll look up every once in a while. I was like, people are passing by, and I looked up, and there he was, bro. a bearded George.
Assyrian
George with Belle and Reed, his videographer.
The
Belle,
engaged.
His fiance. Congrats. I did, of course. And, well, I'll get to that quickly. But, you know, I think him and I probably had both, and I don't want to tell too much of it, but I think him and I had both kind of played out like what that interaction would be like if we ever like ran into each other. You know what I'm saying? And I just like shot up out of my seat and just immediately like put my hand out. Like it was almost like instinctual. And he did the same thing. And he went, we had like a hug and stuff in the hallway of the plane where there's like people sitting around like looking at us. Yeah. And then he just went and same with Belle. And then they kind of just like passed through. And then I was just like, let's like link up after you get off the plane, and we like walked out of the airport together and had like a great conversation. He's crushing it, and I don't want to talk about it too much because I would hope that a portion of it will be used for us to all fix. Not that there's
Spencer
anything to
and
fix,
I are gonna have that. We're Spencer and I are gonna go out and have a podcast with George.
I mean, it's a great
show. We're gonna do our three.
George, hit us up.
George, if you're watching this, just let's do it. It'd break the internet because everybody hates these guys.
I can't wait to hear George's exact, exact.
No, you said it earlier.
Interpretation of how that interacts.
No,
George is gonna be like, we were on our way out.
Dude, I tried to punch him in the face. Fuck this kid. No. This one I can confidently say it was great, and it was honestly, at least for me, I'll speak for myself. It felt like we hadn't skipped a beat. I mean, it was just a really, really just like super positive conversation. We were cracking jokes, talking about, you know, a million things. And
but tell us about Jesus, Jesus underwater.
Where'd you meet Jesus? I don't hear
okay,
that.
Well, that's
George. I'm going to one-up you.
George. It's not as deep as you think, like pun intended.
Well, it's about 30 feet.
He had 30 feet underwater, and there's a statue of Jesus underwater.
Oh,
that's it. He went scuba diving in Miami. Yeah, bro, it's fine.
Okay.
That's kind
of
cool.
I'm sorry, bro. You didn't have some sort of like realization, like self-epiphany moment.
It wasn't like I saw. He wasn't like he was in a penny fountain. He wasn't in the shallow end of the kids' pool at Atlantis. I had to fucking do something. I had to go to him. I was called to him, and I had to go. And by the way, I had to pay $560.
No way.
To go to him. So fucking try to minimize my savior.
You
mean okay, dude?
You made a donation to the church.
Don't you think you should chill out when it comes to these conversations, Logan?
Did you receive
Let me tell my story. I'm very outspoken and defensive of JC. There's a real viral clip on TikTok right now. I sent it to you the other day.
That's my guy. I went out on a boat today, 3.5 miles off the shore of Key Largo, which I had to drive for 2 hours to fucking get to. You're making it
you drove?
Like I saw him in the shower, okay? He was underwater. Okay. Jesus Christ was 30 okay, feet dude. Underwater. Okay. He was had fish swimming out of his ears. And I had to fucking take a boat to him, okay? Okay. Don't stop minimizing this.
Okay, man.
So I had to go out, put on a full fucking outfit. The fucking waves were, it was like, you know, North Sea TikTok. Like, dude,
whoa.
The boat was going up and down. And the dude driving the boat, he's like, he's 40 meters port side. And dude, I had to put on a whole outfit, okay? Jump in the water. The waves were pretty gnarly.
Like, bro, I was in the ocean today. I took a little bit of mushrooms, I'm not gonna lie.
Let me guess, you didn't see.
No, I saw a manatee.
That's awesome.
But there were no waves that you speak of.
Damn.
What I
no, he was 2 hours south. No, he was 2 hours south.
I was four you're lying about miles offshore, Spencer. Were you diving off of an oil rig Gulf of Mexico? You were in the South Beach, bro. There was Cuban music playing.
He said you're a wave
liar. Dude, y'all just lying about y'all, waves. And now even you are turning on the Lord. I'll just say it right now, dude, okay? He was underwater. Well, listen, so I jumped in the water. I was able to swim all the way down to this submerged statue, okay, of Jesus with his hands outstretched. Beautiful. And I flipper down with my big flipper feet with even extended flippers on them. And I tried three times, but one of the times I was able to actually go ding-a-ling-a-ling
no
on his
way.
Hand.
You dapped up Jesus.
No way.
And honestly, dude, all jokes aside, it was a cool moment because it's a cool statue. And a lot of people go to like Christ the Redeemer. Great, dude. Anybody can go to that. But can you deep dive into the ocean abyss where there's like fish that go like this?
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like and chill with Christ underwater.
Yeah, for sure.
That's happening.
One of them was a grand baron fit. I don't.
We saw some tarpon the other day. That was nice.
Thanks, Mac.
Cool.
All right, what was yours? I was in Amsterdam. I went to the Rijk Museum. I walked around for a long time. I saw my nice stained glass windows of all the great Dutch historical figures. And then I was walking through and I happened upon this one statue that was carved out of marble. And I've been really focused on stonework lately. I'm very interested. I want to really put some time in with some five-axis CNCs that can carve whatever I want to make out of stone. Whoa. Because it's this fascinating technology that can do what the ancient greats could do with just their hands. Like, yeah. I'm not going to do that. I don't have time. I'm sorry.
Used an auger?
I have, of course. Of course.
A post hole digger?
Yeah. Dig some fence posts. but yeah, I was just in Amsterdam riding bikes and exploring the canals, you know. But the Rijk Museum is fantastic. Dutch history is pretty interesting. We got a little bit of it. The one thing that is very confusing, you've been to Amsterdam, right?
Of course.
Have you been to Amsterdam?
Uh-uh.
So the Dutch language is very similar to English. It makes no sense. None of the words are English at all, but they look like English words. So the entire time I spent I'm a word guy, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to like understand what I was doing. And on day four, I completely lost my mind. So I was walking around the Rijk Museum on day four with the Dutch language not being understandable by me. And I found the statue and it was a very calming moment.
Hey, while we're here, guys, I want to get... Hey,
looks like somebody drank too much 11 vodka.
I did. Thanks, guys.
Who are you thanking? Duh, dude. Mark Simpkins and John Roberts. Just say it right John. Now. They like these fuck ups even more, dude. Say the names. Just the names. Mark Roberts and Mike Simpkins.
You're just saying names?
Mark Roberts and Mike Simpkins.
No. I know, but we got to start from the top.
No, we don't. If you're drinking 10 vodka, you're one short. Mark Simpkins and Mark Roberts. God.
No.
Mike Simpkins, Mark Roberts. We're going to fix education together. Thanks so much to 11
guys.
Vodka.
You guys,
if you're in Miami, go to 11 and don't forget to, I can't give a promo for alcohol, but he can.
I can't. But they gave us this nice facility and we want to thank them for doing that. Thanks.
Did you pee in the street?
I'm going to share one thing. I'm going to step outside of my comfort zone and share a little weird thing.
Nice.
I stopped at a hotel to have a lunch while we were charging the Tesla that I was riding in with my friend who's running an amazing company. I can't wait to have this conversation with you. But Yeah, I peed in the street there.
Isn't it so weird?
I did.
Wait, do you know about this?
No.
So there's little just like steel structures where you like slip in one side of it and it's kind of like a semi-enclosure and you just piss like right in front of all the stores and there you see like feet trickling by under the thing and the piss just drains onto the sidewalk and into a little drain and right into the canal.
And
just,
right into your drinking water
supply. It smells like piss, bro. Yeah. It smells like piss and your mom from the stall you can like peek over and see like chicks twerking naked in the windows with red lights. They're like, come fuck me.
It's not true.
It's correct. What do you mean it's not true? Dude, the red light district.
But they're hitting down the alleys. And here's the deal. The guy that I was talking about, the company is amazing. They do self-cleaning toilets and then we will no longer have the piss smell. You will no longer have the issue of people peeing in the streets.
Dude, I've never done this and I've shamed I think all of you for doing it, for leaving on the podcast to go pee while we're shooting the podcast. And I wasn't going to do it, but now that we're only talking about piss, dude, I'm about to fucking explode. And I didn't want to leave during your story.
Be a good
I have
time
to pee
then,
so
it.
Bad.
We'll do
damn,
it.
Bro, this is a big moment for me. This is a huge moment for me.
He left us alone.
Mike, you're in charge.
No. No, it's not even because of that. It's not even because of that. It's because the amount of shit that he has given me for having to pee during the show at my advanced age where I'm requiring of a fucking toilet, bro.
Oh, no.
No way,
just pee
bro.
In the street.
Pee in the street. Go to Amsterdam,
dude. There's a giant pool right there. You can take a leak in, Logan. Piss in the pool.
Oh, well, here we are. Three ex-co-hosts of Impossible.
Mike, I'll never forget on like, what happened? Was it the first episode when you had to get up and
attack.
Leave?
Of course.
I remember that.
Yeah. Are you serious? Of course I do.
That was iconic.
It was with
but
the sex therapist.
So
you were sweating like crazy.
You know, that made it into the fifth vital. That story made it into the book. It's the second.
Really?
It starts the second chapter. I'm in the bathroom splashing water on my face. And I had I had a panic attack. Like full panic attack. And you know what?
And you just faced your demon right there, literally.
There are still things that I don't do in life because of fear, which I hate to say. I hate to admit that. There
I think
are things
that's probably
that
all of us do.
I would agree. I would think that as well. Like there are some big podcasts that I've been wanting to do that I've been like, kind of like a little bit nervous to go on. There's a guy by the name of Patrick Beck David, who I love, who
he's
I've been
good,
getting
right?
emails from his team every, like I'm literally supposed to go on the show on Tuesday in Fort Lauderdale.
He's a good dude.
And this year I'm pushing myself to not be nervous anymore, because do you want to know what's happened since then? The more I did it, the more routine it became and the less I was scared to do it. Like you just have to do it. There's
so when you
no
get on,
excuse.
Just tell them, just say, hey, man, I'm nervous as shit
to
be here.
I think your mic is off.
Yeah, how did GP's mic get caught? Can we just plug
Logan.
It back in?
You're good.
Am I?
There you
am
are.
I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so when you get there, just be like, hey, dude, I'm happy to be here, but I'm nervous as shit.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, all right, bro, just chill. He's a good dude.
But the weird thing about it is GP is like, people are less willing to believe you when you say that when you have like 600 podcasts in the bag. And they're like, dude, I just watched you do a show with Arnold Schwarzenegger last week or Kevin Hart or John Cena or whoever. It's weird. But you know.
I think that's a very human thing, though, you know, to be able
nerves.
To address that. Like, yeah, I've been sitting in groups of people with no cameras and anything, and people are nervous to speak. I mean, I get nervous sometimes when you're speaking. So,
right.
Yeah, we're human. That's
yeah,
part
facts.
Of it.
But it is interesting that you bring that up. Lots, I mean, it's been a long time. A lot's changed since then, dude. Yeah. A lot has changed. And it's been a wild ride.
Yeah, when you open up with being vulnerable, it shows a certain amount of strength and courage. If you're like, dude, I know this might sound weird. I've had 600 podcasts, but I'm freaking out being here. I'm scared shitless.
That's true.
He's going to be like, fuck, okay.
It's just especially some of these people that are like masters in their craft. Like
yeah,
PBD, for example, is like so well-schooled and well-taught.
That's going to be a good platform for you, though. Because
yeah, I'm pumped.
You
I'm
have
pumped
that,
for it.
You have that, you know, well-versed political side of you. So you're going to be able to really get it out on that show.
He also read my book. I sent it to him, and so I'm pretty sure he's just going to want to talk about that, which is obviously something that's easy for me to talk about.
But probably going to start talking about Taiwan.
It's very possible.
12 seconds.
It's very possible. It's very possible. Welcome back. How was the piss?
It was so good. I feel like a new person.
See, I told you.
Isn't that a great feeling?
Yeah, in the bathroom, I was just thinking about you guys, which was odd. I was just thinking about
my
boys.
What were you thinking about?
I was just holding my wiener.
Were you hoping that we were going to hold down the fort?
I was like, what are they going to even talk about? Because there's still one thing that I wanted to talk about. I don't know if it's a good time. Were you guys in the middle of something?
I think it's a good opportunity to part.
Unless you want to clear off Northern Europe first.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Because I had a Northern Europe story, but yours might fit better. I'll build it off Amsterdam.
I just wanted to ask about you, Mac.
Yeah.
What has life been like after Impulsive, after 4546 White Oak Avenue?
You move
back to Cleveland, Ohio, you know, our great home city, where we met.
Yep.
What's you been doing?
A lot of things. As everybody knows, I've been continuing the artistic journey. I've found my stride in understanding that I am a person that has complex and deep feelings, emotions, intentions, that as I continue to dive further into myself, I will arrive at the things that I'm supposed to learn for me and hopefully share those with other people so they don't have to learn themselves. But I've been painting a lot. I've been writing a lot. I put out my first book that would have been 2 years ago now. So I'm on number two right now, writing
Providence.
That. Providence was the first book. Second book is going to be an upside down and backwards version of that. But that's all I'll say at the moment. I've been exploring the real estate industry and trying to figure out how I can bring the ideas of the houses that I've always dreamed of, these extensive buildings and community gathering spaces, to life. I'm not an architect, but I am a dreamer. And I spend a lot of time when I'm sitting, meditating, dreaming about these places that can invoke change for communities, for people individually, so I can spark the spirit of everyone that's trying to discover what life truly is. And I've been really reducing my proximity to my simple life in Westlake, Ohio. I do love Cleveland, but I do specifically love Westlake because it was a place that I was raised in and it has taught me so much. And to give back to my community in the way that I do, and the people around me, the artists that I work with, that I can share the moments that I've gained with you two. Spencer, of course, this guy's literally changed my life in the past 2 days, but also the past my life. Greg, you've also inspired my life significantly in Westlake, but I've learned so much from you two, and every day I am met with a new artist or a familiar artist that I'm working with that I can share the things I've learned from you two and the world that we've created here and make their lives better and more possible. So a little bit of creative coaching plus, of course, my own creative pursuits.
Very cool.
Dude, me and you will always have a creative bond because you designed everything for the Fifth Vital, which is so sick, dude.
Not a lot of people know that.
Yeah, cover, the...
I took the photo for the cover. I did the audiobook for the Fifth Vital.
Sat in that... Oh, by the way, after 4 years, I got a DM yesterday from someone who realized that in the audiobook, I said that I would go to cities to sell people to weed that I'd never even met. Not to sell weed to people I'd never even met. I was selling people to weed.
We can fix it.
One person out of the hundreds of thousands of people.
We
found
can fix it.
But yeah, it's been a wild run. It's crazy to be sitting back here with you guys.
So it's stuff like that. It's things like that. And I would like to take a moment to say that a lot of people don't realize that I do every single creative outlet, which is audio, video, photo, poetry, painting, podcasting, and all these things. And I'm so happy that I'm able to encourage and support others that are doing that. That's what I do every day. I love my life.
Fantastic, man. Mm-hmm. It's a hard pursuit. I feel like to be a master at all of those is super difficult, you know, and like
in the short term.
Yeah, for sure. Are you thinking super long term?
Of course.
As a 360 degree artist?
100%.
Do you think it's going to be harder to brand yourself as such?
I feel like I'm sitting on a podcast that is reaching millions of people. And if the people know truly that I'm the person that does that, well, maybe hundreds of thousands. But but maybe the clip will reach more. It doesn't really matter, but I'm aware that
the clips are pretty good.
Yeah. No, I know Caleb's going to do his job. I was talking to Caleb. He's going to put the GTA videos underneath this, but just run the sound of the GTA video. Okay, sorry. Please, for this one. Please. Subtitles on my phone, but just run that.
Yes.
Subway servers to add Subway servers on top of the GTA.
AI photos of Taylor Swift.
Someone sent a meme to me that's how I watched Oppenheimer, or how I expected Oppenheimer would be.
No, funniest thing I ever. Said that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, there was a meme of it where there was like five different screens. It was like Subway Surfers.
It was like bro expected Oppenheimer to be like this. And like there's Oppenheimer with like GTA in the bottom, Subway Surfer on the left.
TikTok.
You'd probably enjoy it more.
Maze Runner.
Oh, you would have made it through it at least. Finland. Doing this. I get to the luxury of adventuring. Like we talked about what everybody does.
Yeah.
I love to adventure. I love to explore this world. I've been to some of the coolest places. I'm sorry, bro. Yeah.
That has to have an asterisk next to it.
What do you mean?
Man, the first time we went to my ranch, I was like, come see the top of this hill. Come climb this hill.
Well,
you're not a ranch guy.
No, he's not a walk guy. It involves walking.
No, so, Mike got pulled by dogs on a fucking
you know what's funny? He is right. When it comes to actually the movement of my legs, that part is limited on the adventure side. So scooters and that type of thing, necessary for sure. Or dogs. This was the only trip in all my years of doing this adventure for content format that Logan Paul reached out to me and said, I am jealous of what I'm seeing right now. Like what you are doing right now is fucking insane.
It was everything I've never done and have wanted to my whole life.
It was incredible.
What was it?
I went to Finland. I went to a place called Lapland in Finland, a city called Kittila. Which is just inside the Arctic Circle. So about as far north. I mean, you've probably been up there because you were in Oslo and in parts of Norway. So you've been up in that area. It was my goal to fly from London to Kittila to see the Northern Lights. And while I was on the way out there, I realized that the cloud cover was pretty fucking gnarly. Just going to that area in no way ensures that you're going to see. How many people watching this right now, how many people sitting in this room right now have the goal of one day seeing that insane solar phenomenon?
Kevin, we tried like extensively for like 2-3 days in a row. Nothing.
Cloud cover. Yeah, lack of solar flare. So I had done a ton of research and watched the weather for that week. And it looked horrible. It was like 17% chance I was going to see it. I get there, we go to dinner. I'm eating some of this Norwegian crab, which is a specialty in the area. And they're trying to feed me reindeer, which I had just pet one. So I didn't want to eat fucking Rudolph, bro, by any means. And I get a FaceTime from Martin Garrix, the DJ, who is in Lapland. Hey, man, saw your story. Saw you're in Kittila. I'm here too. What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, man, the Northern Lights that you're here to see because you posted on your story about, oh, they're out right now. Like, come to where I am right now. So we get in the fucking Sprinter, me, sweet Sarah, David the German. We go out there, and there they are, this massive solar phenomenon in all its glory. Little did I know that 2024 winter was supposed to be the biggest Northern Lights year on record, like one of the biggest ever. The clouds parted and I'll show some imagery here of these pictures that we got. So but just Finland in general, rated number one country for happiness in the world 6 or 7 years in a row now.
I went there for my film.
Helsinki,
yeah.
Just an incredible place. And then randomly Martin's there. So Martin Garrix leaves. And the next day I get a DM from Lando Norris, the F1 driver from McLaren, possibly one of the biggest personalities on the F1 scene right now. Everyone loves Lando Norris, massive, massive, you know, racer. And he's like, hey man, saw you're in Kittila. I'm here too. Sorry, what did you just say? Lando, you're in the Arctic Circle right now. What the fuck are you doing here? So I go and I meet him and we link up at this karaoke place and we sit and there's a bunch of other racers there and we have this night. And I say to him, man, for content tomorrow, it'd be sick to race you on ice-bound go-karts. And I'm like, dude, he's never going to say yes to this. McLaren's not going to let him race me on a fucking ice track. He goes, yeah, okay, man.
Shows up the next day. We fucking ice Mario Kart ice race against each other. Lit wild.
Did he smoke you?
So, Lando, I owe you a bit of an apology. I presented it on my vlog that I'd won. There was a moment where I hit a red turtle shell and spun out on the track, and he waited for me. And so the thing about these ice carts, the thing about these ice carts is the heavier the person in it, the better grip it has on the track. And he didn't realize that he was dealing with, he was, you know, racing against the fattest man on the planet, bro. Yo, so my tires were just digging in. At the very last second, I zoomed past them.
Oh, no way.
You blue-shelled them.
For real. And so it was just a wild kind of like once. And then, of course, the Huskies, you know, riding this dog sled.
Dog sledding.
Kind of feeling like an Aborigine in these negative 20 Fahrenheit temperatures.
I think an Aborigine is in Australia. It has no snow.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair enough. Side.
All right. Feeling like a native Finlandian. No. You know, just Huskies pulling. You got a brake that you have to hit with your foot. That's the only way to stop these mother effers from pulling. They just want to pull. These dogs are bred to pull. Down. Pull. Put your foot down. Exactly. It was awesome. It was an awesome trip. And honestly, just refreshed and reinvigorated my desire to continue to churn out that type of content, which is this exploration of this planet. And the cultures that exist in each country, the food that exists in each country, the animals, the natives, and to just continue to dive into that because it is my favorite thing on the planet to do. Shout out to Anthony Bourdain, who is my hero, RIP, and just so much inspiration from that guy.
Did you see Pete over there?
Unfortunately, he's still floating, man.
Still falling.
He has not come back to the flat earth, unfortunately.
It's flat.
The earth is flat.
Go watch your flat earth.
I got tagged in a story, Instagram story the other day. They're like, Logan, please make another one of these. It's the best thing you've ever made.
I saw that story. And it will always piss me off to know that we had the Russian episode written. We had Russian visas.
Oh, it was so
I
good.
Have a Russian visa in my passport book that makes me look like.
I had to take it out. To get in and out. Because when I went into Ukraine, I was like flipping through my passport and that Russian visa was there, but we never went. So I was like, I think that's going to come
up. Do you remember the plot?
Of course.
Okay, so can we give a quick brief synopsis? Because we're never going to make this movie. So this is when slap fighting was popping off.
Before Dana White even heard of it.
Way before. This was when we first started. And we're like, yo, this is entertaining. There's a little meat on this bone. So we made this script that would be like the flat earth, half real, half fake. Like they wouldn't know that we're there filming like scripted bits where I was going to enter this competition, the legitimate like Russian slap fighting competition. And I was probably going to do well. And eventually we, in our script, we made our antagonist, the Russian slap fighting champion, whose name was Dumpling. And we're like, yo, this guy can fucking slap. And I was supposedly going to meet him in the championship. We were going to, the coordinators agreed with us that I would slap first.
You're forgetting a part.
On all of them? What?
You were there to avenge my dad.
No, I'm not there yet. So along the way, just like in the Flat Earth Conference where we got in together, I was like, Mike, you should enter the competition. This was in our script. And Mike's like, all right, man. And so first round, whoever slaps Mike, it's a legitimate slap, by the way. There's like a room full of people watching, and they wouldn't know this, but essentially in our script, the guy would kill Mike. actually murder him. And so that becomes part of my ethos, is like, I'm gonna avenge my friend and show these fucking Russians that I can slap. And I meet this guy in the championship. We scripted two endings, but we also developed a Russian love interest.
she was a minesweeper.
A minesweeper. So, because this is fucked. In our script in Russia, there were mines everywhere.
Everywhere. Like everywhere. Like, it was Cold War era mines. Dude, which, by the way, is true.
It's pretty accurate. Yeah.
And so I ended up falling in love with this girl. She was a minesweeper. And I think in our script, whether I ended up winning or losing, at the very end, Mike somehow comes back to life in a wheelchair with like a neck brace. He's like, bro, I made it. You won, everyone. You found the girl. This is great. And then somehow he ends up like rolling down a hill forever for 3 minutes. he's rolling down a hill in a wheelchair for 3 minutes. And the whole time we're like, no, Mike. But somehow he keeps going. He's dodging all these obstacles. Like, we think he's going to die again. Our friend just came back to life, but he's on the cusp of death again. Finally, he makes it to the bottom of this hill. We're like, yo, yeah. And he turns around. He's like, yeah, we're fucking mid. Mine goes off. Mike explodes. Story ends. But we had it all scripted.
We had literally, by the way, scripted down to like actual lines. Like the thing was ready to go. Like it was packaged, ready to rock.
Do you guys think you'll make movies at some point?
I want to make them with him. But in the vein of Flat Earth, I mean, dude, Flat Earth, like it's fucked up to say this, but like, I want my flowers, bro. And we want our flowers for that product. Not enough people are talking about that product.
Do you know
that it's table stakes to date me that you have to watch that with me? I was about to say, do you know how many girls have shit? Baby, zero. She's gone.
She's not even there.
She's watched it. I forced her to watch it. She was like, she looked at me at the end and was just like, What do you want to say?
I've shown Nina some clips. It's very funny. I think movie making is on the agenda. You know, one thing at a time.
Yep.
We got to be
next action hero, right?
WWE
there.
Superstar first. Get that title.
Fix the country.
And then go make some fix the country, and go make some movies.
Before that, can we get some dinner?
I'm hungry, guys. That's it. That's all we got. Greg, Spencer, Mac, thank you guys for joining us. For real, thank you guys.
Love you, bro.
I love you guys for real. All of Amazing. You, including you, Dad.
Love you like a son, Logan.
Thank you. I think I earned some favorite son brownie points this week. I'll just say it. I came and saw your new house for the first time, and Jake didn't. And so I earned some brownie points, and I'm Greg's favorite son at the moment. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of Impulsive. We love you. Hit that subscribe button. We'll see you next time. Take it easy.
Peace.
Out.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.